Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. God is spirit. Jesus said we are to worship him in spirit and in truth because life is spiritual. And the world in which we live is not just bricks and mortar, trees and mountains, rivers and animals and human beings. There's a spiritual dimension. And God is part of that dimension. And life can be so often viewed just in the natural. We just sang a hymn, which I didn't suggest David to choose, but he chose it for us. Teach me your way, more by faith, less by sight, less by what we see naturally with our eyes, because life is spiritual. And thank you, Arnis, for being honest about this passage that we've got in the Bible tonight. Because if you go to this passage without a sense of the grief of it, but if you disconnect from this passage, you are disconnecting from the world in which we live. Events have taken place in the last week in Sydney that almost match this passage extraordinarily. A young man who claimed to love a young woman ended up murdering her and killing himself. What sort of things are happening in our own country? What is taking place here? Increasingly, we are seeing these events unfold, and the Bible explains why. This passage in 2 Samuel 13, I thought it was extraordinary as I read this and pondered it and then read through the tragic events of what took place in Sydney. A young man with a Scandinavian heritage thinks he's in love with a young woman. And this is the sadness of the world in which we're living. Love is equated with sexual desire, lust. This is what we have in this story of Amnon. It is told in the story that Amnon loved Tamar. Did he love Tamar? Seriously? He was completely deceived about the concept of love and what love is. That's the anguish of this passage. But his own father had set the foundations. His own father had not gone out to battle when it was time for kings to go to war. He's on a couch, feeding his flesh, feeding his natural desires. And he looks out the window and sees a very attractive woman, just like beautiful Lily James in Sydney. And he thinks he's in love with her. When you have things presented to you on your television or on the internet or in the community, when women are wearing clothing that is likely to attract your attention, when the thought comes, the devil says, this is love. And that is powerfully presented in our community today. That is the message of our nation today. Friends, We have opened the floodgates of wickedness in our nation over a number of decades, but we have reached a point where God is about to act in judgment if there's no repentance. If you are a father of a family and set the standards in the family, and the family decided they would change your standards to be utterly opposed to what you have set for them, how long will you be patient with them? We're in a serious state in our nation and in all the Western countries of the world. And what you see happening in Israel right now is a precursor of what God will allow to happen if there's no repentance. The Bible is very clear. And here in this story of Amnon and his supposed love, tormented, it says, he was tormented by this passion. What is this passion? Is this a good desire? In fact, he was so tormented he became ill. And lust of the flesh can make you sick if you allow it to reign in your mortal members. But it's interesting, isn't it? He is so controlled by this passion. And each one of us sitting here tonight is Amnon. Oh, we say, oh, no, you don't put me in Amnon's category. See? I don't want to read that because that is just... No, friends, we are Amnon. If you don't realize this, you're not saved. You see, you can only be saved when you see the wretchedness of your true condition. And there is no savior in this story. As a man controlled by his lustful sexual desire, and then, what a tragic circumstance this is, he gets a friend, always friend, gives him an intrigue. When sin is at work, there's always intrigue. There's always craftiness going on. Jonadab, very crafty. He told him how to set up the situation where he would be able to exercise his lustful desire. Well, that is happening all over the place in our community today. And then, finally, when Tamar comes and brings the food to him, and thank you, Arnis, for reading out her cry, because it was a desperate cry. She was willing to marry this man. She was willing to be honorable for him to go to the king and grant her to be his wife. But he didn't want her to be his wife. He wanted to satisfy his lustful desire. And Jesus said, if you have looked at a woman, if you have, and you've lusted after her in your heart, you are Amnon. You are Amnon. You have committed adultery with her. And what happens when sin is exercised in our members? We end up hating the object of the thing that led us into sin. Amnon hated her with very great hatred. what happened when Paul Tilson murdered Lily James? Why did he so brutally murder her? Because sin had taken hold of his heart and he couldn't get free. But we have the answer. You and I, sitting in this room tonight, have the answer for people out there in the community to set them free. Haven't you been set free? Don't you know a Saviour? That's why the title of this message is Jesus Makes All the Difference. Jesus can set you free, Amnon. Paul Tilson, Jesus can set you free. But the devil has not only caused Paul to kill Lily, but to kill himself. And we have the answer. We are the only people in the whole world who have the answer to the problem that is out there in the community. Isn't that true? Because we are Amnon and we've been set free. What does Paul tell us in Romans 6? What does he say? For when you were slaves of sin... You see, you're a slave of sin. When sin takes hold of you, you're a slave. You can't help but sin. You will go on sinning. You're a slave to sin. And we would be just like Paul Tilson or Amnon if Jesus had not rescued us. Is that true? Isn't that true? Do we think we're better than Amnon or Paul Tilson? Really? Do we think we wouldn't have done these things? Without Jesus, we would be just like this. We would be a slave of sin. And Paul says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You could not practice righteousness. And what was the fruit you were getting at the time of these things, he says, of which you were ashamed? The end of these things is death. All sin leads to death. Death in us. The life of the Spirit is quenched by sin in us. The life of Christ in us is unable to flow out in love and in truth to others when there's sin in our lives. But Jesus came to set us free. And Paul says, but now that you've been set free from sin, you're free. Jesus has set you free. And have become slaves of God. Yes, I know. You're just like me. At times we're not slaves of God. We allow the self-life to exercise its influence again. The flesh rises up and it produces death. The flesh rises up and it produces death. But Jesus set us free because he has given us his Spirit. His Spirit. That's the difference between the old covenant where the laws were presented and sin reigned in the heart and man was unable to fulfill the requirement of the law. It told us what was good and right, as Paul says in Romans, but we could not fulfill it. That which I would do, I don't do. And that which I wouldn't do, I do. What? Oh, wretched man that I am. Have you said that about yourself? Do you know how wretched you are? The only way you can really be free is to know how wretched you are. And know that Jesus has died on that cross for you to set you free. You no longer need to be ruled by guilt and shame, as Paul Tillson was ruled by guilt and shame, so driven by this that he killed the object of his lustful desire. A slave of God, the fruit you get leads to holiness. And its end, eternal life. Wherever there's holiness, there is life. I was talking with Art and Sarah today. They're dear people. And Sarah said to me, all she sees around her is lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. Because the world is capturing as much of our lives as God. But when we are slaves of God, then the fruit leads to holiness, separation from the things of the world, and that leads to eternal life, life to the full. For Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. If you see and recognize death, there is sin somewhere. We need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us. You know, I've been struggling at times to give thanks in all circumstances, because with not doing it, it's sin. It's falling short. We make all sorts of excuses, you know, but I'm really unwell and I'm ill and I'm struggling. People are against me. People are firing rockets at me. Lord, don't I have a chance to say, it's tough here. No, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, a slave of God. And this story of Amnon and Tamar and Absalom, who is angry and stirred and ends up killing Amnon, well, the fruit of Amnon's sin with Tamar is death for himself. But if we look back, where did all this start? With David on a couch, siestering when he should have been at war. And Nathan told him, this is the judgment that is going to come upon your household. And here it is unfolding. But Jesus came to set us free, to break the curses that would flow down from generation to generation. Remember what Paul said in Galatians. All the curses and the judgment and the wickedness of our sinful behavior that God says in the Old Testament, the sins of the father would be upon the children to the third and the fourth generation, are broken by Jesus on the cross. The man who repents humbly before God at the cross breaks the power of that sin to continue to flow. The outcome does not have to be as it was in David's family. And we are witnessing, friends, in these very days in which we live, the desperate need for people to hear about Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and what he's done for me. He has saved us from sin and death. He has transferred us from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven. He has set before us an eternal dwelling place that can never be taken away. But he's also put his spirit within us to enable us to live a life that bears witness to Jesus and what he has done for us. Not what we have done, what Jesus has done. Has Jesus made all the difference for you? Has Jesus made all the difference for you? If he has, you will tell others what he has done for you. Amen.